Well, last week, Pastor Jason Bandura launched our summer series called I Am, and it was a great introductory message, and he told you that we're going to be taking, I think, 8 weeks this summer to go through the 8 I Am statements that Jesus made in the book of John. And so each week we're going to hear from a different speaker, and today we have a special treat in that we have Brian and Claire Epineau are going to share the Word of God with us today. Sometimes we have one or the other, but today we said let's get them both. So let's welcome them as they come. Brian and Claire are originally from Uganda, and they were part of the Watoto Church there, kind of a world-famous church, and led some of their choirs around the world, and were on pastoral staff until God called them to Canada and to our church. It's a great story. They're life group leaders here in the church, and just love the way you guys love Jesus and live such consistent lives. Happy to hear what God's put on your hearts for us. Who starts?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Joe. It's an honor for us to be here this morning. I wonder how many people are enjoying the summer. Yesterday it was hot. But believe it or not, one of our dream destinations is Dubai. We'd like to go there and just enjoy the beauty of the place. I've looked at a couple of pictures, and I think it's a beautiful place. I also believe they have an amazing culture there, and we just want to go and enjoy the food, except for the heat. But we welcome and every other thing. Recently, I read an article in the Gulf News that talked about an initiative that had been started by the ruler of Dubai. And this initiative is called Bread for All. It was started in 2022, and the goal is to basically help underprivileged families access bread. So there are smart machines that have been placed on different parts of the city. And all you have to do is to just go and press a button, and in a few seconds, you have bread. I thought that was neat. Maybe an inspiration for me to go to Dubai. Now, we have a Costco membership, and our son is always excited whenever we are going to Costco. And the reason for that is he gets to snack. Now, it's not like we starve him back home, but he just enjoys snacking. And I guess that's the thing about boys. They love eating. Now, I like the bread from there. And I've told my wife a couple of times that even if we're to maintain our membership, we just have access to this bread, that would be enough. Because the bread is filling. I like it because it's organic, the whole grain. It's just nice, like when you're eating it. So the thing about this bread, though, is after you eat it now, tomorrow you're still going to be hungry, and you're going to need some more bread, right? Jesus spoke about a different kind of bread. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he says that I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, this bread that we eat here just nourishes our body, but Jesus nourishes our souls for eternity. Amen. I believe inside every human being, God has created a vacuum, and that vacuum can only be filled by God himself. No amount of wealth, pleasure, money, whatever it is, nothing can fill that vacuum. I like what St. Augustine said, that you have created us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee. That's amazing.
And let's pray as we start, because we're going to talk about the bread of life. So let's go to the bread of life and just dedicate this service to him. Lord, we thank you that you are God and you are good. And even as we share today, may you speak to us. May you speak through us. May each and every one here just have an encounter with you and a word for their season. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let's explore the background of this statement I am the bread of life. So Jesus performed so many miracles. And John chapter 6 records the miracle where Jesus fed over 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish at the Sea of Galilee. And one key thing about this miracle, apart from the resurrection of Christ, it's the only miracle recorded in all the four Gospels. And that shows you it was a big deal. Jesus was very concerned about the welfare of the people. They were hungry, he fed them. But today we're going to even learn that this miracle reveals a deeper truth. So when Jesus fed them, he withdrew from them, he walked on the water, met the disciples, went to the other side of the sea at Capernaum. Then the crowd noticed that he had left. And they got on boats and they went in search for him. And when they found him, they asked, "Rabbi, Rabbi, when did you come here?" You know, it's a valid question. But Jesus exposed their true motives. He said, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." You know, they were looking for him just because they had had physical bread. And that's what their minds were fixed on. But Jesus used that miracle to point them to a deeper truth. He told them, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, and this is where the statement comes from, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Isn't that amazing? I am the bread of life. And you know, the Gospel of John is very intentional. The Apostle John was very intentional because he refers to the miracles of Jesus as signs. Now, a sign is not an end in itself. A sign will always point to something deeper. And this miracle was never about bread. It was about the bread of life. And Jesus was saying, "I am the bread of life." They were looking for provision, and Jesus was pointing them to the provider. They were looking for a sign. "Give us a sign." And Jesus pointed them to the Savior. "I am the Savior. I am here. I am who you need." And you know, the Word of God is so rich. It's full of layers. You can read one verse, and there are so many layers to it. It's so rich because it's the Word of God. It is God-breathed. So even today, as we share about "I am the bread of life," we're going to look at three different layers to this particular statement. The first layer, on the surface level, we will learn that Jesus is our sustenance. But then we shall go deeper, and we will see that on another level, Jesus reveals himself as the atoning sacrifice. And then when you go deeper still, you're going to see that Jesus is, God. So these three layers are what we're going to explore today. Jesus is our sustenance, Jesus is God, and the heart of the gospel is that Jesus is our atoning sacrifice.
And I'd just like to start off with the first point, which is Jesus is our sustenance. This is the most basic and practical application when you read this portion of scripture. Now, I'm aware that there are very many different cultures all over the world. And different cultures have different staple foods, right? In Uganda, for example, I know that there are some cultures that have fish as their staple, others beef, others millet, cassava, name it. Regardless of the staple, one thing is constant in Uganda. We eat two hot meals a day. Now, I remember the first time that we traveled and went to Europe. We were invited by a friend over for lunch. And when we got to the dining, we saw bread had been served. So they told us that that was lunch. Now, we started looking at each other and we're wondering, where is the lunch? Because back home, we are used to eating solid foods. When you're taking tea in the morning or in the evening, you accompany it by eating bread, and we call it escort. Now, this was strange. We are like, is this breakfast? Is it, you know, what is this? Now, I have been here for some time now, and I can tell you that nowadays, I eat bread or sandwiches for lunch. I just wonder what happened to me. It just feels like I've somehow been brainwashed along the way.
Yeah, and you know, in first century Israel, bread was a staple food. People ate bread. And even though you were poor, at least you would have some barley bread. And the rich people would have wheat bread. So bread was so important. And against this background, this is why Jesus makes this statement. And he says it several times. In John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus then repeats the same statement in verse 48. I am the bread of life. It's like he's making this repetition for us to stop and take that in. I am the bread of life. I am your sustenance. And then in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So notice the progression. 35 and 48, I am the bread of life. 51, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. And this shows us that Jesus does not merely give life, but Jesus possesses life. And he calls us, come and partake of me because I possess life. I came down from heaven. So throughout this passage, eating this bread becomes another way of describing us believing in Jesus. And he's telling us, I am your sustenance. I am your fulfillment. And you need me for your spiritual survival. And you know, life as we know it can be demanding. There are pressures in this life. There are pleasures in this world that keep tugging at our hearts. Maybe it's the job. Maybe it's the mortgage. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your health. Things are tugging at our hearts. And they start taking our focus away from Jesus. Jesus wants us to redirect and look at him. Jesus, the bread of life. So he says in John 6:27, do not be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. And I just want us to pause right now and reflect. Where am I in the crowd? Do I seek Jesus or do I seek what he offers? Am I seeking what is temporary or am I seeking what is eternal? When I gave my life to Christ as a teenager, there was a song that kept playing on this Christian station. And this week I actually found out it's a very old hymn. And this is how it goes. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And when I am awake, give me Jesus. And when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all the world, but give me Jesus. Wherever you are, guys, whatever we are going through, can that be our heart's desire? Give me Jesus. Because you know, at the end of our lives, when we breathe our last, because these lives are very short compared to eternity, what will matter most is Jesus. Is us looking at the face of Jesus and saying, Lord, I worship you. Can that become our normal today? In the book of Revelation, Jesus writes a letter to the Ephesians and he tells them, return to your first love. Now, I don't know what that means for each and every one of you, but the call today, this morning, is return to your first love. Amen.
And the second layer that we'd like to talk about this morning is that Jesus is God. Now, the verses that we read earlier on, 35, 48, and 51, actually, declare Jesus' divinity. Now, I know maybe you're here and you do not know that actually Jesus is God. These verses speak into that. Now, John 6:35 is the first I am statement recorded in the Gospel of John. And Jesus would like for us to know and understand that he can do for us what no man can do because of his divine identity. He tells us in John chapter 6, verse 46, that no one has seen God except the one who is from God. Okay? That only him has seen the Father. That is what he's telling us here. And I find that powerful because he was in the presence of God. And so he's the right person to speak to us about who God is, because he came down from heaven. So when he makes that statement, it is something that I find very powerful. He tells us, as was coming to the end of his life, this is the prayer that he made. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. That's amazing. This is Jesus telling us that, hey guys, look, I existed before the world began. The moon, the sun, and everything that you see that was created by me because I was there then. Mm-hmm. I am this great God that you guys need. I just find that so powerful.
And you know, there are lots of scriptures that point to the pre-existence of Jesus in the Old Testament. But we're going to highlight one of them. And this is a story where Abraham heard that his nephew Lot had been captured. So he gathered 318 men from his household to go and rescue him. And you know, I find it amazing that he had 318 men ready to go for war to rescue his nephew Lot. That means God had established him and he went to this battle. So when he came back from this battle, he met a strange guy called Melchizedek. Melchizedek had bread and he had wine and he blessed Abraham. And Abraham even got a tithe of all his loot and gave it to this guy Melchizedek. But Melchizedek was not just an ordinary guy. Melchizedek was Jesus, God in flesh, appearing before Abraham and blessing him and giving him bread and wine. And this is what the Bible talks about Melchizedek. It says he was without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. And in Psalm, this is what they talk about him, Psalm 110. For the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So Abraham was before God himself and God was blessing him. And the thing about bread and wine being given to Abraham, it was the foreshadowing of Holy Communion, of the Last Supper, as Jesus was going to give his body and his blood for his disciples. So in this text in John chapter 6, when Jesus stands before the crowd and he says, I am, the same word that means Yahweh, he's saying, I am God. I am God standing before you. Do not look for me just because of physical stuff. I want you to know that I am the living bread that has come from heaven and I need you to trust in me for your eternity. Same thing God is telling us right now. I am God. I stand before you and I invite you to walk this journey with me, not because of what I have to offer, but because I am your creator and I know exactly what you need.
And the last and final layer that we'd like to talk about is that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus, through the image of bread, would like for you and me to understand the greatest mystery of his earthly mission, which is to be an atoning sacrifice for your sin and my sin. Now, I know that every believer who is a true follower of Christ understands the power and the beauty of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, I know that we have all sinned in one way or the other. And maybe you've acted selfishly, maybe you have been proud, greedy, not loved as much as you think you should have, but we have all fallen short before God. I'm aware that there are some sins that are in the open, while there are some other sins that are hidden in our hearts. Irrespective of whether the sin is hidden in your heart or in the open, God sees them clearly and is aware of all those sins. I also know that there are some people who refuse to admit that they have fallen short, that they are sinners. But the fact that you refuse to accept your sinful condition, that makes you a sinner. Because none of us is perfect, because if that's the route you want to take, God desires that you are perfect. And that's the reason why we all need a Savior. That's the reason why we all need our sins to be atoned for. Now, the Bible tells us in John chapter 6, verse 53 to 56, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." Now, these words sounded shocking to his audience. As a matter of fact, many of them got angry. But in order for us to have perspective of what's happening here, let's just go back to the Old Testament. After the flood, God commanded Noah that no one was to eat blood in any form. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, he says, "But you must not eat meat that has its life, meat that has lifeblood still in it." Throughout the Old Testament, blood basically symbolized the covenant. It stood for life, and it was at the center of the atonement, the sacrifices that were made. So these people had that understanding that blood was not just something. When you spoke about blood, it was something huge. Now, when Jesus comes and is telling these people to drink his blood, to eat his flesh, that does not sit well with them. We also know that when God made a covenant with us, it was through blood. Exodus tells us, Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Because the law forbade these people from eating blood, they were shocked when Jesus was telling them this, and as a result, many of them left. But Jesus was just speaking figuratively. He was not actually telling them to eat his physical bread, to eat his physical body, or drink his physical blood. That's not what he was communicating here. Now, there are various scriptures in the Bible, like in John chapter 10, Jesus tells us, "I am the gate." That does not mean Jesus is a literal gate. In John chapter 15, he says, "I am the vine." But it doesn't mean he's a physical tree. Now, at the beginning of John, in chapter 2, it captures a story. When Jesus went to the temple and he started cleansing it, and then the Jewish leaders started questioning his authority and they asked him to perform a sign. Then Jesus told them that I will destroy this temple and build it up in 3 days. And they're like, wait, it's taken 46 years and you will only build it in 3 days? What is that? But Jesus was actually speaking to these people and prophesying that in the time to come, I'm going to die, I'm going to give my life, and after 3 days, I will come back to life. And we see the same idea captured here in John chapter 6, verse 51. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Notice those words. He was speaking to these people and he was prophesying about his death. That in the time to come, I am going to be crucified. And after I'm lifted up, you guys are going to be drawn back to the kingdom because of my body, which is represented by the bread. In the old covenant, people were sacrificing all the time, but after the death of Jesus Christ, because he died once and for all, we no longer need to make those sacrifices that were made all the time. And every sacrifice we see in the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in the person of Christ. And that is what makes Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice that you and me need.
Yes. So, and as we come to a close here, I believe John 6 was not clear then to the disciples, but it became clearer to them at the Last Supper, because Jesus took the bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, this is my body. And then he took the cup, the wine, he gave it to them, they drank, and he said that this is the cup, a new covenant in my blood. And it did make a little bit more sense, I believe, to them. Because this is what he told them in John 6:54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. That means eating Christ's flesh and drinking his blood means that we accept by faith what he did on the cross. We accept that he went to the cross, he died for our sins, he stretched out his hands and said, it is finished. And because of that, we have reconciliation with God. We who were once far off have now been drawn to Jesus. And we can have fellowship with God. I can go to God anytime. I can boldly approach his throne because of what Jesus did. I can speak to Jesus anytime about anything because of what he did on the cross. He made a way. But above all, me who was an enemy of God because of my sin, I have been brought close to the Father because of Jesus. And I live in that victory every day, irrespective of what is going on. Irrespective of the circumstances around me, I am living for Jesus. I know that he has paid this price for me, and all I have to do, guys, is believe. That's all I have to do. Receive it and believe it. And how does one receive eternal life? John chapter 3, verse 16 says, and it's a common verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In John chapter 6, verse 28, the people asked, what must we do to do the works God requires? Notice that. What must we do? They wanted to do stuff. They wanted to please God with works. And that's a trap that we always have. The Jews had it so much because they thought they had to observe the whole law. It's a trap that we want to do and do and do for what Jesus already paid and is freely given. It's not about works. It's about faith. And Jesus gives them an answer in verse 29. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Can you just, the work of God is just for me to believe, and that is enough. I was raised in a very legalistic environment, and it was about do. Have you gone to church? Have you prayed in the evening? Have you prayed in the morning? And then when I gave my life to Christ, I noticed that I don't need to do. I need to trust. Then I read a book by one of the legalistic pastors, and they were like, this is so cheap. All they have to do is believe. All they have to do, and I believed it then. Then I started saying, no, God paid it all. All I have to do is believe. Believe what he did on the cross, and that is enough. And when I believe, he makes a way for me to be reconciled with God. So God calls us to believe in his son. Zeal will not get us anywhere. Works will not get us anywhere. But trusting in Jesus, number one, you receive him as Lord. And number two, you walk with him every single day. You say, you're my sustenance. You are God, and you are my atoning sacrifice. And I will live for you all the days of my life. That's what God calls each one of us to do.
As we come to an end here, I just want to invite Wisdom, I don't know if he's there, to just come to the keys. Seth. So I do not know from this message that we have shared, I do not know what God has been speaking to you. But I believe in one way or the other, there is something that the Holy Spirit has been convicting you about. Now, you could be out there and you're probably saying that, well, I've heard you guys, but I even never trusted this God that you are talking about. Jesus is always welcoming people into his kingdom because that is why he came for you and me. And so I just want to give you this opportunity, whether you are online or right here, if you've never embraced Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the moment. Tomorrow is guaranteed to no one. And so I just want to extend this opportunity to you. And if you're out there, I would just like for you to slip your hand up as a sign of faith. If you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just put your hand up and I'll just lead in a prayer. Just put it up and you can put it down. Thank you. Can we all just say this? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Thank you. You can just put your hands down. Thank you. So can we just all say this together with those people who have put up their hands? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. This morning, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. So forgive me, Lord. Give me your Holy Spirit to live a life that honors you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You could also be out there and you're saying that, you know what? I gave my life to Christ a couple of years back, maybe last week, and things are not working out. something else has taken God's place in my heart, but I'd like to make him the center of my life again. And if that's you, I'd just like to lead you in a prayer that God would help redirect our focus back to him. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, because you speak to us, Lord. And so I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you'd help us place you at the center of everything that we do, Lord. Father, we know we cannot walk this journey without you, Lord. And so for that reason, we invite you and we ask you, Lord, to take the steering wheel, Lord. That, Father, you'd order and direct our footsteps, Lord. That you lead us to places you'd like for us to go. That you just take control over our lives and your spirit would just convict us, Lord, to bless you at the center of everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite you, Pastor Joe.
Thanks, Brian and Claire. I really appreciate that. Why don't you just stand to your feet? If you need prayer for anything this morning, we always have a prayer team available to pray with you. It doesn't have to be anything related to the sermon. It can be. But just if you feel like I need somebody to stand in prayer with me, then as I dismiss you, you're welcome to just come and some of our prayer team will gather around you. But until then, next week, I'll be back talking with you about Jesus being the light of the world. And then I think the following Sunday will be Nolan Melbuff. Sure. Jenny will be after that, then Anatoly, then Betson. So you're in for a good summer with some great communicators from our church. And I think it's going to be great. If you raise your hand today to receive Jesus for the first time and you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to just stop by the window on your way out and just say, I prayed with Brian this morning, and we'd be happy to give you a Bible. Bless you. Go.